is up? What is up? What is up? We back. It's Earwolf Presents. It's a new month, which means we got a new show for your asses. I'm your boy, Jacques Neal, the host, the voice, the curator, and I got some dope stuff for y'all this month. And when I tell you it's dope, you know it's dope. Oscar Montoya and Mono Agapian are on a journey to try the most heteronormative things that weird them out on a show called The Trigaze. Now, these fellas aren't being reductive. Nah, I know these two dudes. They are truly some of the least reductive people I know. And I want you to join them over the next 4 weeks as they do their best to try straight things and talk to the straightest comedians, the straightest ones. I want you to go outside, look up to the skies, and say, God, is that you? And it's going to be straighter than God. That's right. Straighter than the original straight white man. They're talking to people like John Gabris, Paul F. Tompkins, the homie Nicole Byer, about their straightest straight passions. Now, to be clear, this isn't a podcast about mocking straight culture. It's simply our gateway to better understanding the freaky, unnatural lifestyles of the straight folks. Simply put, it's queer ear for the straight peer. I'm excited for this. I know you guys are going to love it. Mono and Oscar are truly two of the funniest people that I know. I wouldn't bring y'all the whack shit. You know I wouldn't. I wouldn't bring y'all the whackness. I'm bringing y'all the good. I'm bringing y'all the Trigaze. And let's check it out.
Sister.
Hey, no.
What?
Not here. Not in this podcast.
Not yet.
Hello, brother.
Sup, bro?
How are you? What's good?
Dude, I'm smashing pink all over town.
The artist?
That's what we call vagina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You didn't get the memo? You didn't get the memo?
Is that what people call?
Isn't that vulgar?
Pink?
Pink. Oof. Isn't that worse than... I'm sorry, we're starting filthy. That's worse than... gash, that's worse than cunt.
I don't know if that's worse than gash.
Should we bleep that? That's coming in way too hot.
I don't like that word.
I don't like it either.
No.
I don't know.
But pink, I don't like. Also, is pink even correct? Not all. It's
vaginas,
not all pink.
Are pink.
All vaginas are pink?
I think they have pink parts. I'm making a crazy statement. I think every vagina has a little bit of pink somewhere.
He's starting already.
I don't know.
You know, listen, everybody, this is our attempt at being straight because this podcast is about two raging homosexuals.
Raging.
Trying to understand the heterosexual
incessant
lifestyle.
Demonstrable. Disgusting.
Oh, that's who we are.
Yes, we're just so gay. And we're trying to understand this hetero lifestyle. We're not making fun.
No, we would never. No.
No, that's
beneath
us.
We respect. We are allies. We are straight allies.
We are straight allies. Mm-hmm. And this is a journey to better understand the hetero world we missed out on completely.
Absolutely.
Somehow.
You know, in a way, we are like gay anthropologists.
Uh-huh.
Understanding the decaying culture of heterosexuality.
Socio-heterologists.
Ooh.
I like that.
Trademark it.
Trademarked. Yeah, we're trying to understand it. We missed it. And like we've said in the past, we know like at least 10 decent straight people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Around there. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe closer to 8, but
maybe,
like.
Yeah, closer to. Yeah.
We round up. Yes.
But you know, I'm looking around. You know what? I do have a lot to say. But first, why don't you come on down, get a cup of tea, and
ooh,
step into our safe space. I want to talk about, like, the scene with a capital S.
Ooh.
Okay? So you know that I'm dating. I'm, like, you know,
yes,
single, ready to mingle, and I'm on the apps.
And I'm out.
Yeah, you're out of the closet. Yeah, you are gay.
Yeah. I just want to say that. I'm gay! I feel so good. No, okay, you're on the scene. Talk to me about the scene.
So there's a lot of profiles that I've been reading because I also haven't been on for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. I just like haven't dated. I
sure
didn't want to date for a long time. I think I'm ready now. And first of all, it sucks. It's very hard.
Mm-hmm.
But also on a lot of the profiles, there's like people who write down non-scene gay.
Uh-huh.
Not into the scene.
Yes.
Not participating in the scene, but likes to party. Like,
yeah.
What does that mean? What is the scene?
What is the scene? Should we try to, like, define it in loose parameters what the scene is?
Well, I'm quite baffled by that, right? Like, I don't know what the scene means.
Okay, I would take a stab at what I think the scene means. I think the scene, number one, means venues that require you to be shirtless. Or venues where being shirtless is encouraged. That's a scene.
Okay, what?
Venues that have shirtless homosexuals. That's part of the scene.
Okay, so scene means, like...
In fact, I'm putting someone on blast right now.
Ooh.
But yesterday I was picketing a WGA strike. And I made the mistake of offering one a slice of pizza. And the look on this diva's face when I offered her a slice of pizza was one of disgust, abhorration. It was horacious. What does Monique call it? Slutatious. It was slutatious. And I said, oh, right, you're part of the scene.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And I will say that to her face. She's part of the scene. She's part of the scene. And she looks gorgeous. That's the life she's living. That's the life she's living. That's not the life I'm living.
Sure. Thank you for contextualizing it for me. Yeah, it's someone who is, like, very much gay as lifestyle in the sense of, like, I go to the parties. I go to the West Hollywood parties. I see.
I participate in the vanity culture. I think some people participate in the vanity culture.
Speak on vanity culture. I've never heard that word before. That's a cute word.
Vanity culture of our queer gays. You know, people who have said, you know what, yes, I am going to live a life... I don't know. I mean, I'm going to live a... This is hard to say, right? Because I can't... I'm trying to not sound ignorant, and I'm trying not to sound, like, exclusionary. But it would... It's no secret that there is a body type that has been, if nothing else, heralded as ideal in the homosexual male community.
No lies detected.
And that is one of extreme muscle and very lean body fat.
Right.
And if you don't challenge that body image, I think you're part of the scene.
Right. It's like not only do you aspire to be that, you buy into it. Vanity culture, I think that's so interesting because you don't have a choice about being queer, but you do have a choice about the culture of queerness.
Yes. But the good news is I think the scene is dying.
Do you think so?
Or changing. I guess the non-scene is growing. Maybe that's it. The scene will always be the scene. There's always going to be the shirtless gays who like to party dance. But I think the non-scene actually has a chance to grow with, lack of a better word, online gays, dork gays.
Okay, dork Saturday.
D&D gays. I think there's a lot of queer people who are hungry for non-scene experience.
You said hung.
And that scene. You are part of the scene.
You said hung.
You are scene.
You said hung.
I said hungry.
No, you said hung.
You heard hung.
Pause.
Because you're part of the scene.
You said hung, ..
Green. What else do you think is part of the scene?
You know, it's interesting now that you say that about, like, the people on the apps that say non-sceney, which is like, okay, those people don't aspire to be part of that.
I mean,
I guess I'm not sceney. Yeah, I guess the drug culture, that's a big part of, I guess, nightlife culture, right?
Yeah.
And drugs is a part of the nightlife culture.
So there's some crossover in nightlife and scene. Yes.
I think so. I think that's what people mean. It's like, I don't party.
Is the sexual culture part of the scene?
Ooh, good question.
You know, because look, we have really good friends in, like, Big Dipper and Meatball who are very vocally, like, they're really tapped into the sex culture of queerness.
Yes.
Like, cruising, dark rooms, rooms in the back of clubs where anonymous sex acts are happening. Is that part of the scene or is that part of a...
Subculture.
Subculture?
Yeah. Is the sex part of nightlife culture?
Yeah.
And to tie in to Safe Space and the purpose of this podcast, how does that compare with the scene, trademarked, in straight culture?
Right.
Like, if I were on the straight dating apps, would there be someone who's like, I'm not in the scene, I'm a straight, not in the scene? Like, what does that mean, right?
That's a good point. I mean, I think the closest thing to the scene in straight culture is Christianity. Like, Christianity is the scene. Like, bachelor culture is the scene.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're buying in. You're saying, this is what straight couples should be, because it's been put on the highest pedestal.
I see.
I think.
I see.
But I got to talk more about the sex culture mm-hmm. thing, because, like, is sex culture part of the scene because it, like, objectifies us? Or is it anti-scene because it says, whatever your body is, bring it and enjoy?
Well, it is, like, what kind of bodies are accepted in these spaces? That's a right. big thing, right? Like, yes, you could be part of the sex culture, the sex scene, but if it's very much like, this is a sex party that is looking for this specific type of body,
yeah.
then that is part of the scene, I think, right? But then there's other sex parties, I mean, especially when we talk about Big Dipper and Meatball, who are like, to me, seem an inclusive sort
yes.
of body positive sex scenes, then is that still part of the scene? I don't have an answer. I don't know.
I don't know either. And
especially because we talked about the scene being this sort of like very homogenous, very sort of like you have to be quote unquote hot. It's all about aesthetics. Then we're seeing the breakdown of it of like, is the sex culture the sort of protest to the scene?
That's a great question.
And maybe it's not the sex culture, it's the body positivity culture that is protesting the scene.
Yes. It seems like the queer people are looking for ways to live vicariously through the scene we've been excluded from.
That's also very interesting because it's like growing up, you know, for me as like someone who was like queer, realized I was queer in my teenage years and having sex and sexuality be a big part of that identity, obviously. Mm-hmm. And growing up at a very toxic time mm-hmm. of seeing like gay people look exactly like this.
Yes.
And you don't look like this, so
oh
you are
God.
Not gay, right?
Yes.
Like that's just I
yes.
grew up being
yes.
like, I don't know anyone who's like me,
yes.
so, or looks like me.
Right.
Or is being idolized as like a gay person.
I learned
like
that
me.
My torso makes me less valid as a gay man.
Absolutely. You hold less currency that way.
Yes.
Right?
My torso mm-hmm. is not good enough to be a gay man.
Right, right.
Because right. there's one torso that we all were told, this is the torso, bitch.
Right.
Get it or get out.
Right. And on Grindr, some people have a lot of currency with just their torso pictures.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
We can't rely on the torso pics.
We have no torso cachet.
We need a whole fun little, you know.
We have no torso cachet. Oscar! I think what I'm learning, though, is that, okay, we have different. Okay, that's the bad voice talking. I gotta get the bad voice out of here because more and more I'm looking at my body and going, yeah, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch. Like, yeah, you're juicy. Mm-hmm. That's okay. That's not a bad.
And not only that, we're celebrated with
yeah, yeah,
our
yeah.
juiciness, you know? And that's the biggest misconception I've, like, grown up watching, right? It's like, because, again, part of the scene. Like, if you're not part of the scene, you are not seen as part of the queer culture, right?
Yes.
So, to me, honestly, the social media has broken so much of my preconceived notions, especially the self. Like, I'll take a selfie on Instagram, and I'll have people DM me being like, oh, you're attractive or whatever. And, like, to me, that is the most shocking thing I've ever heard. Because I don't look like the sort of mold of what I've grown up to be
you're
as attractive.
Hot, bitch. Yeah.
But media didn't tell me that.
Of course
media
not.
Told me that I was a disgusting little troll. And I believed that for a long, long,
me
long,
too.
Long time.
Me too.
So it's the unlearning part for me, right? The unlearning of just like, oh, no, we have cachet.
We do.
We
really
have cachet.
Do. And also, we have something sexy that a body can't hold. I'm trying to get onto that.
Personality?
Talent? Sympathy? No. But really, though, I'm like more and more being like, what a gift that maybe, maybe my body is the least sexy part of me. Maybe. Maybe.
Slow down. Huh?
And is that the biggest gift of all?
Truly.
Like, how sad that some people only have their body to be sexy.
Well, I mean, we've seen it time and time again. You have people who had a lot of torso cachet,
mm-hmm.
and then after a while, with age, mm-hmm. their torso has let, you know, plummets down in the stock market, you know?
Same, yeah.
So then it's like, what are they left with?
Yeah.
Because they didn't have time to develop all the other skills.
We've all talked to those, the empty hot people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's, I have another question for you.
Yeah.
Are you ready to be a bear?
Excuse me?
Are we ready to accept our fate as bears?
You think that's what we are?
what else are we, bitch? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that's another toxic part of my gay brain. It's like trying to outrun my bearness, if that makes any sense. But then again, do I want to identify as a bear? I don't know. I don't know if I need the label. But however, is the label good? Because there's a community of men who are maybe hairier, who are maybe thicker, who are there to be a support system that I'm denying because I'm projecting how hard it is for my 1990s brain to feel safe. Being like, I'm a bear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think like this could be another coming out moment for you right now. Coming out as not only gay, but a bear.
Ugh.
But
why am I fighting it?
Okay, I'll tell you why I am fighting it. Well, first of all, I've had a couple of bears tell me that I'm not a bear.
Right.
Which is like, okay, gatekeeping. because I'm too, quote unquote, sweet.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm like, okay, like, what is that? Like, what does that mean?
Is that cub? Is that what cubs are?
I don't know what that is. I don't know. I think cub just means younger, maybe. I don't know.
But how can we be 40-year-old cubs?
Oh, it's 40 years old. Jeez, what
Who
the
said
heck?
That? Who said that?
But I also think, in a way, bears are the scene now.
Right, right.
This dad bod thing, which is incredible. It's great. I love it. I love a dad bod. But like, I think that's like sort of replaced the Abercrombie and Fitch aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it's become gatekeepy in a way. Like, yeah. I've had people be like, no, you are not this. Even though I'm like, well, I think I meet the criteria. And they're like, no, not quite. No, no, nope. You're not part of our community. It feels similar to that.
So are bears also the scene?
Yes, I think so.
Oh,
I think they're
no.
just, I think they can be just as toxic.
I wonder if we're like, hopefully we're evolving past label culture.
But gays love a label.
Yeah.
They love, especially with animals. You're a wolf, an otter, a cub, a pup. Like,
you know how I feel about pups. I'm sorry.
Speak on that for a second.
No, I don't. I
What's
don't
your
want,
stance on pup
I don't
culture?
Want the pup community to come for me. I don't want them barking at my door, pissing on my leg, putting me in their doghouse, or as they call it, a house. It's just not for me. I'm a prude. I'm boring. My sex is boring.
Watch you be the ultimate pup.
I don't, yeah.
You're like fully.
And maybe I'm fighting that.
You are fighting.
Yeah.
You just need a collar.
Honestly.
That's it. You need
maybe,
a collar and a muzzle, and then you're like, okay, I found my tribe.
Maybe the lady doth protest too much.
Okay, I'm done. I'm out of the safe space.
Oh,
I
yeah.
need to get out of here.
We kicked ourselves out.
Yeah, we're kicking ourselves out.
Well, honestly, Kiki and comment because we need to figure out what the scene is. We didn't figure it out.
We couldn't figure it out. I'm struggling with that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at profiles, and it's nice that I haven't read a profile that says, into the scene, only into the scene. Like,
right.
not being into the scene is a selling point, I think.
Because people in the scene don't want to think they're in the scene. It's like the Matrix.
But that's the part, right? Like,
yeah.
I look at pictures, I'm like, it seems like you're in the scene, but you say that you're non-scene it.
Well,
like,
no one in the Matrix
scene.
Is like, I'm in the Matrix.
Right.
Hi.
Right.
Like, no one, that's not how the Matrix works.
Right.
This is wild.
It's hard.
Well, as we talk about the Matrix and the GOP, things are getting straighter, it seems.
Uh-oh.
It might be time for us to transition into our next segment.
Okay, let's do it. Let's put on our costumes and let's get into straight drag.
Rah, 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 rah.
That's a bear.
Oh, no. Oh, no, I am a bear. Wow! What a treat. We're here with one of the 8 straight people we like.
Where do I rank?
You're high,
you're
bitch.
You're very
well,
high.
I hope so.
You're
hope
very
so.
High.
You're
very
good.
High.
I mean,
if
look,
this was an elimination-based reality TV show, you'd
yeah.
be in the finals.
Let me know one person that I have to beat.
Okay. Maybe Gabrus. It's between you and Gabrus.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say
different strengths.
Different strengths. Different kind of straight.
Yeah, different kind of straight.
Yeah, right.
We need to introduce you because this person is a comedian, podcaster, writer, actor, just a general genius. And
absolutely.
One of the best humans Earth has to offer.
Period.
Paul F. Tompkins!
Hi!
Hi!
Hi,
oh bitch!
Gosh. Hi, bitch!
Say it, Paul. Call us a bitch.
Hi, yeah. bitch!
Yeah, I buy it.
No flinching there.
I buy it.
Okay.
Paul, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be here with you fellows.
Aww. Oh, we're so glad
always
to have
a good
you.
Time. Separately and together? Are you
I
kidding
know.
Me?
It was almost a Mrs. Doubtfire situation, right? Where we're like, we were never in the same place hanging out with you at the same time, right?
Who's Robin Williams and who's Mrs. Doubtfire?
Well, this is the eternal question. This is one of those quizzes you have to take.
I think I'm Robin Williams.
Hello!
Oscar, yeah. Come on.
Hello!
Oscar's character work is better, so you have to be Mrs. Exactly. Doubtfire, you know?
You know who I am? I'm like Barbara Streisand where they do the montage.
Oh,
they do the
yes.
Mm-hmm.
The matchmaker
mm-hmm,
moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's who I am.
Remember that?
Matchmaker moment. From which movie?
In Mrs. Doubtfire.
I've never seen it.
Wait, hold on.
I've never seen it.
No, you're kidding.
This is an attack.
I've never seen Mrs. Doubtfire.
No, you're kidding.
Here's what I know about
this
it.
This is an attack.
No, wait, you're kidding.
Here's what I've seen. I've seen maybe the opening minute of Mrs. Doubtfire where Robin Williams is in the recording studio.
Because what? You're that much of a voiceover artist, that's the only part you could watch?
Oh, I was interested in.
It's the only part I can relate to.
And I don't know why I even saw that, but I can tell you the things that I know about Mrs. Doubtfire.
Okay.
Drive-by fruiting.
Why haven't you seen
Hello.
It?
Hello.
Yes. We're going to watch this match.
I am the whole time, the whole time.
Do you see me? I'm clutching my pearls.
I am absolutely gagged. Like, you're a comedian.
No interest.
I'm a good deal older. You're a comedian.
You're a comedian. No, yeah.
But I'm a good deal older than you guys. So by the time that movie came out, I was already like a full grown adult. And I was like, I'm not going to see Mrs. Doubtfire.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
no Mrs. curiosity there.
No curiosity.
No.
Okay.
What?
When you so tell wild. Other people this, what
I
do they
the
say?
I saw the trailer and I'm like, got it.
Wait. But when you tell other people this, like, what do they say?
Oh, the same thing.
Yeah. So okay, we're gonna watch the matchmaker scene.
I know her tits catch on fire. She sticks her face in a pot.
Yeah. No context. So Robin, what you should know is that Robin Williams' brother. Is yes. a makeup artist.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Played by Harvey Firestein.
Of course.
Legend.
And they're very gay, and they're like, I need your help because I can't believe I'm explaining the plot of Mrs. Doubtfire in the year 2023.
I know what the plot is.
Yes. So I need to pass as a nanny.
Yeah. Very creepy
That's
plot,
it.
By the way. It's
You're kind of right.
Yeah, no, disturbing. You're right. It's weird. It's very strange, but I can't believe you've never watched it.
It is transphobic at times. Okay. Yeah,
I can't become a better human being, so I'll do this weird deceit.
Yes.
To the people that I love most in the world.
Okay, here we go. Let's watch
Progress,
this.
And you're my brother. I will never let you be embarrassed.
God bless you.
I think we're going to have to do the entire phase.
But look at this nice thing, though.
Oh, here we go.
Matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
And here we go. We're getting Barbara.
Yeah, this is it.
Don't tell me not to live, sit and putter. No. Life's candy and yes. the sun's a ball of butter. Don't bring around a cloud to rain on my parade.
So what did you think? Do you want to watch the rest of the movie now? Did you like it?
Movie night?
Do you
want to
watch it? Do you want to watch
Let me
it?
Let me think about it.
So that's a no.
Let's do some Patreon content.
I'm gonna talk it over with my wife and my pastor.
Who's Janie think? Does
Janie I don't know
she
if
she's
seen
watched
it. She must have
Fire.
Seen it. I'm sure she's seen it.
Yeah, everyone's seen it.
Not
this is
all.
Really blowing my mind. This is blowing my mind. But this is not why we're here today.
I mean,
this is.
It could be.
It could be.
We could stop, hold the presses, and watch Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah. I guess we did invite you here because we wanted some education.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. As you know, we're not here to mock straight culture. We're here to learn from it.
Right. Yes. Yes. Sure. Yes. And there's lots of elements in straight culture that we simply do not understand, but we have heard about. And we'd like to talk to you, since you're an expert on this specific subject,
mm-hmm.
Have you heard about baseball?
Yeah, is that what you want to talk to us about?
That is what I would like to talk to you about.
Okay.
Okay. Mana, what are the things that you know about baseball?
Yeah,
okay.
Here we go.
Okay, I know there's 9 innings.
That's right.
Okay, wow.
Usually,
yes. Yeah.
I know there's
at least 9 innings.
At least. There's the diamond thing. There's the diamond with the three bases and the home thing.
That's right.
That's a base.
Pitcher's mound.
That's right.
Outfield.
That's right.
Angels.
Sometimes.
Home run. Right. There's two ways to do a home run.
Strikeout.
Mm-hmm. Striking out. Yeah, 3 strikes and you're out. We all know that.
I didn't know that.
And then there's the side thing.
You've never heard 3 strikes and you're out?
I've heard strikeout.
Strikeout. Okay.
I am surprised Oscar's never heard 3 strikes and
you've heard
out.
Like third strike.
Yeah.
No, where have you heard that?
No, people have put that into popular culture.
Yes,
certainly.
Well, like, it just means you're in trouble.
Literally one, huh? Trouble?
You get three strikes and you're out. So when people are mad at you, what they might say in a non-baseball context.
Right.
That's your third strike.
Right. Like, you've misbehaved a couple times.
Yeah.
I was always a good student.
No, you weren't.
I know for a fact you plagiarized a poem.
But I never got caught.
I know for a fact you read a teacher to her face. I can guarantee that. Okay, I know that. Do you know anything else about baseball?
They have nice butts.
Yeah, they do have nice butts.
You know what? That goes in and out of fashion in baseball, but right now is
in
a great time for butts.
Baseball
for
butts.
Baseball butts, yeah.
Really?
Well, there was a time in the 90s where there were a lot of slovenly kind of baseball players, and it was beyond dad bod. It was sort of like, do these guys count as athletes?
Right. Because there's less movement than a lot of sports.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Certainly less than soccer, basketball, football.
Yes.
Oh.
Because some people don't even run. If you're a pitcher, you don't run, right?
A lot of pitchers do not hit, yes. They will have a designated hitter hit for the pitcher.
Right. So people who pitch are different from people who swing a bat. What are those people called?
Well, they're players, but if you're in the batter's box, you are the batter. If you're holding the bat and you're trying to swing at a ball, then you are a batter.
Yes. Okay. And there's two ways to do home runs, right? There's like home run that's just like, oh my God, the ball went so far, everyone gets to clean house. Everyone gets to walk. Everyone gets to sashay.
Paul, tell him that's not a term. Clean house.
Clean house is not a term in baseball. But it is a term.
But everyone gets to strut. If the ball goes far enough.
All get to strut.
Baseball players don't
casually,
strut.
Casually. Or
they do a little jog, yeah. If it is a home run that goes outside of the bounds of field of play. Mm-hmm. So if it goes into the stands.
Yeah.
Nobody's getting that ball.
Right.
So you just can jog around the bases. You can get an inside the park home run.
Mm.
Which is you hit it far enough in a certain area that nobody was there. They have to run, get it, throw it to the infield to try to get you out. That is more rare because you have to be so fast to do it. What you're thinking of maybe is a grand slam home run.
Grand slam.
Well, if you hit a home run and somebody else is on a base, then everybody gets to come home, right, if it goes outside the park. Grand slam is if there are players on every base, first, second, and third.
Okay.
And you hit a home run in the batter's box, that means you get four runs because counting you, that is four people that go around the bases and come home.
Okay. That was very hard. And I don't think
okay
I understood
it. That
okay
was so sober.
It's very exciting.
That was okay.
Grand slam home run, very exciting.
Does it happen often in baseball?
Not super often, but it does happen.
Okay.
Like it won't happen like once a game, but it can happen fairly often, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, what else? What else?
Well, first of all, why baseball? What do you love about baseball?
Here's what I love about baseball, and here's my, you'll pardon the expression, pitch to you guys.
I won't.
I'm just learning this.
Baseball. You know what? I respect that.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me what to pardon.
Baseball, what I love about baseball is it's one of the least aggressive sports that is still a sport. Golf, I guess. But golf is boring as shit.
Right, like because football is killing people.
Football is too much.
We know football is bad, yeah.
Yes.
It scrambles people's brains and we're still doing it. Like the
awful
science is in.
Yeah.
But it's like, nah, but people like it. What are you going to, it's a slippery slope.
Golf is not a sport, it's a hobby.
I'm almost willing to 100% agree with you.
Okay.
Mm.
I will say that it does not need special clothes. If you can wear the same clothes to a TGI Fridays or a Houlihan's that you can wear to play the sport, then it's not a sport.
It's not a sport.
Then you don't need those clothes.
Yes.
But baseball is, it's a slower sport, even though they make attempts to speed it up. They adjust the rules often because they're worried about people not watching it. And they think, if it's faster, we'll get more people to watch it.
Interesting.
But honestly, what's preventing people from watching it is that they're making it difficult for people to watch. Like, you have to have a special cable package, and the games themselves to go in person are pretty expensive, even for the cheap seats. All the shit that you buy there is ridiculously
overpriced,
marked up.
Yeah.
So it's like, that might have something to do with it.
Mm.
But it is a slower game because the pitcher takes his time to figure out what he wants to throw. The catcher and the pitcher are communicating through signals of what you should do.
Their fingers are down near the crotch.
It's like straight voguing in
a
way.
And I will tell you,
voguing is a catcher signaling to a pitcher.
Cat. Foul ball,
first inning, out. Swing hard.
Yeah.
Catch the ball.
Safe. I have to admit, I'm just looking at that player's bulge when they're doing that.
Bulge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a bulge.
He's calling attention to it. Oh, you're a bulge.
I am a bulge boy.
Oh, I see what's going on here.
You're a bulge boy. I self-identify. You're not a bulge boy?
No, I'm a butt boy.
It's a real tease because his hand is almost completely covering the bulge.
Yes.
So he's like, look down here. Wouldn't you like to see what's going on?
Right.
Behind my dancing fingers. So there's a bit of edging.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's great about baseball as a sport. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in baseball. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to be. Because the gameplay of baseball is very simple and very easy to grasp. It does have, like all sports do, a few arcane rules, but they don't come into play that often. The most common ones that do, you pick up on very easily.
Okay.
It's an extremely easy game to get into.
Okay.
You know, you say that as a heterosexual man, but I will say that I did go to a baseball game one time, a Dodgers game.
Wow.
Dodgers is a baseball team.
Yes. We're mad at them right now, but yes, keep going.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
We're mad at them.
Oh, that was weak.
Well, they infiltrated our space.
Yeah.
No.
Not supporting them right now.
We don't like them. But I went to a Dodgers game only because I got free tickets for like all-you-can-eat hot dogs. So I got one of those seats where like you can eat hot dogs.
One of those seats?
They're seats that you like
There's
unlimited
seats?
Hot dogs. Yes, it's a thing. So, you know, I got hot dogs.
This is news to me.
Well, yeah, wait, good. Okay,
seats,
this feels good.
Certain seats, like do people know before they get there?
I think they were seats where you could have unlimited hot dogs.
I think you just went to a game with a feeder. That's what I don't think there's such a thing.
What's a feeder?
You know, someone.
I don't. This is a new term for me. A feeder.
A feeder is a
thing. Educate him.
And not even just a solely queer thing. Feeders are people who like get either romantic or sexual gratification from feeding their partner.
Yeah. So like I'm nice and full all the time.
Yes.
You're constantly feeding them.
Yes. Yeah. It's a thing.
It's
and
a thing.
Obviously, it's like a weird thing of like, this is destructive, right? This could be destructive.
It also feels like it defeats the purpose because it's like you might be ready for sex, but then the other person's like, no.
Yeah, no way.
You made me eat a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's like, that's the thing that turns them on is like, I am feeding you.
Yes.
Enjoy all this. So maybe I did go with
you
the feeder.
You went with the feeder.
But I was
lied
like
and
eating.
Said, oh, you're in a free hot dog chair.
You're in the all hot dog chair. Yeah, it does sound like
Papa,
you.
Eat.
It does sound like you looked under your chair and it was like, oh, you won. You get all the hot dogs. It's sounding really
it's like
sketchy.
Scrawled in pencil.
Don't look at this paper.
Yeah.
And I went and I was like having a good time, like talking with my friends, and I was like, when is the game gonna start? The game was 40 minutes in.
Yeah,
I had no idea the game started.
Yes, yes.
It is really that sort of.
Yeah.
Slow?
Absolutely. Yeah. You can get a lot done during a baseball game and still follow what's going on.
But like, I don't understand why it's such a... It is America's pastime, isn't it?
Allegedly.
Yes.
Why?
Well, it was dubbed America's pastime at a time when it probably was, but I don't think that it is anymore. I think people are... Honestly, I would probably say basketball is number one right now. Maybe football, but people love basketball. I've been to one professional basketball game, and I could see getting into it because it's very fast-paced. It is exciting, you know, and it's like there's such a limited amount of stuff that happens, but it's happening very quickly, and you know what they're trying to do. You always know what they're trying to do.
Right.
So it's probably the easiest sport to get into, basketball.
Here's my question. Why have baseball players not been able, because there's not like a cult of personality around baseball players.
That's not true.
Am I wrong?
Not anymore. There used to be.
Okay.
There used
Babe Ruth.
Who were like, oh, okay, of course.
Yeah.
Hello?
Mickey
Mantle?
Griffith?
Ken Griffey Jr.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Daryl Strawberry.
This is good.
Sammy Sosa.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
A-Rod.
A-Rod.
Mr. Jennifer Lopez. Well, not anymore.
Mr. Jennifer Lopez.
That's right.
It's very hard to remember if they're married or not.
Isn't that wild?
And then I will think about it, and then it's like, all right, Ben Affleck.
Right.
And then I remember again? He came back. Yeah.
This is
he
a gay back. Sidebar, but the fact that she brought A-Rod to Biden's inauguration and then dropped his ass like a week later is very cunt. Yeah.
Look, the heart wants what it wants, and she wants to be engaged and she wants to be married.
Yes. Yes. That's she gets all
she's married for a while and then she's like, I miss being engaged.
That,
and then
yes.
she wants to go back to being engaged.
That's her kink. Yeah. That's her so pastime. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's her feeder. Yeah.
And look, luckily, she's just fucking with rich people. You know what
yes,
I mean?
That's true.
So it's like nobody's being left with nothing going on.
That's cool.
It's
yeah,
people that have already have their own careers.
Yeah.
Right.
So like they have something to focus on.
Yeah.
She doesn't do backup dancers anymore.
Anymore. She did try it. She tried it. She dipped that's into right. it.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. She needs to do a reality TV show is what she needs
to
do.
She does.
Let's have her on The Bachelorette. That would be fun.
That would be amazing.
Wait, so who was the baseball player who married Marilyn Monroe?
Oh.
Oh, Joe DiMaggio.
Joe yes. DiMaggio. And he was a huge personality.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
I would say it's probably in the era of the 2000s is when baseball players started to drop off as famous entities. And
right.
now I think it's... God, like who's the most, I'm trying to think of like who is a baseball player that everybody would know who it is. Ohtani's probably the most
Ohtani.
Famous baseball player right now. But even then, I don't know.
Why is he famous?
He's a phenomenal player.
Oh, because he's good?
Yeah, because he's good.
He's not like a Dennis Rodman. You know what I mean? He's not yeah. like a person. Is he like famous
right.
because he's like
But
crazy?
He's also, he's a rare pitcher that can also hit.
Oh.
Which makes him an exciting player.
For the Angels.
Yeah.
Wait a second. There's a team called the Angels.
Yeah.
Angels in the Outfield.
That's correct.
Is that this?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's connected to that.
I have not seen the movie, but I do believe it is connected to
right.
the Los Angeles Angels at Anaheim.
Can we
They're
see
from LA?
Pictures of him? I'm trying to see how bae he is.
LOL.
He's pretty cute. Let me see. Do I live? God.
Oh, these pictures are always the worst. The official pictures of the players
right.
are, I don't know why.
This looks bad. Yeah,
but
I don't like that.
Fucking
oh my
terrible.
God. He's actually bae.
Well, like, yeah,
this
like,
picture right there.
Oh, look at
better.
Him with the hat off. Look at the one on the left.
Yeah, the smile.
No, down.
Oh, yeah, down.
That one.
That
one's
bae. Pretty
that's
good.
Bae. Look at that jaw. Oh!
That's good. Can we
how
go
tall
to
is
him
he?
Smiling?
Can we find out how tall he is?
We're really making the segment gay.
So Shohei Ohtani is listed at 6'4".
Wow.
Right? And guys, there's more where that came from. You know?
What do you mean?
Are baseball players
more
tall
sexy?
Typically?
There's a lot of tall players right now.
Why?
I don't know, but there are. Pitchers
are
a lot of
short
times
players?
Are, pitchers a lot of times are tall. There are some short players. Yeah.
Okay, because this
there's
is this a sport where you
there.
Can be short. Yeah, can you be a
yeah.
short king
yeah, yeah,
in
yeah.
baseball?
It does help to be tall, to run bases quickly.
Oh, that makes sense.
To throw, especially for pitchers, mm-hmm. to have good velocity with throwing, and outfielders, of course. And also to get people out faster.
Right.
If you can reach them before they get to the base, you
yeah.
tag them out.
Okay.
You know, it helps to be a
like
little
improv,
longer.
You can tag them out.
That's right.
And do a different play.
But they don't get to come back.
Oh, my
but,
God.
But I mean, they okay. later in the game.
Jose Altuve is 5'6".
Okay. Oh, I'm a fan
oh,
of him.
Oh, short king.
But guess what?
Yeah. I love short
he's
kings.
He's a fucking filthy cheater, so you cannot
oh,
like him.
Oh, I can't like
why?
Him.
Why?
Talk to me.
You,
why?
Most of the current Astro team you cannot like because they are despicable.
He does look like he,
are
I
they
slept
the villains of baseball?
They're, huh? Yes, they
why?
Are.
Why? What did they do?
They famously stole the World Series from the Dodgers 2019? I'm trying to remember.
Oh my God.
It was right
drama.
Before it was before the pandemic. We found ooh. Out later that they were cheating. They were sending signals to each other because they had the game on fucking TV in the locker
and
room.
So they were looking at what the pitcher was
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got
they
it.
Knew the signals and they were signaling each other, signaling the batter. And so I'm trying to remember the name of the pitcher. He is now on the Padres.
This is drama. Okay, we're back in because this is drama.
Great pitcher who, Darvish Yu. And he must have thought he was losing his mind. And everybody blamed him for losing the series.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Because they knew his signals. And so they were signaling each other. They were getting hits off of him, no matter what he threw.
And then was there justice, or it was like, ugh, it's too late
now? There was
now.
No justice. There
right.
was no justice. They never fully admitted that they did it.
Right.
It was proven, like, there was, like, side-by-side comparisons. There was, like, listen when they're banging on the side of the dugout when this pitch happens every wow. time.
Yeah.
So that the players know, the Astros knew. Wow. So when they won last year against the Phillies, that sucked even more for me because the Dodgers and the Phillies are my teams.
I see.
Because I'm from Philadelphia but I've lived here since 1994, so I root for both of those teams. And it sucked because it was a lot of the same players from that cheating year. It really sucked. And they were gloating like, you can't say we didn't win it fair and square now.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, but you're still the same fucking guys who cheated, so fuck you.
Ooh, wow. I love that.
It sucked.
This is good drama. Okay, this gets me engaged.
Look at that guy.
He's also very cute.
He's also very cute. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of cuties.
Cute baseball players.
He's a tall drink of water.
A lot of cuties.
Now imagine this poor baby boy, and they're all like children.
Yeah, that is funny to be like, oh, right.
It's so weird to remember because you grow up with the idea of like professional athletes being men.
Yeah.
Right. Because
you're a little kid.
Right.
And then they always stay kind of fixed in your mind as men. And then you find out like they're in their 20s, you know, because you can't do it for that long.
Right.
You know, like you're an old man if you're playing at 40.
Yeah.
But also like back in the 70s and 80s, there were some like old baseball players playing. Because I remember I used to have the trading cards and maybe I was just like really young, but like there were some like big boys.
There was a couple, like Raleigh Fingers was a guy who played well into his middle age. Raleigh Fingers.
Not Fingers.
And he had a curly mustache, handlebar mustache.
That's not a real person.
Look at him! Yeah.
That's goofy as hell.
Yeah.
It's so funny how interchangeable that face is with any gay porn.
Yeah.
Like, you could just put that right into any gay porn.
Oh, my God,
work.
He's still curling that mustache.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know what I mean? The A's is one of my favorite color schemes.
Okay.
There's a lot of fun accessorizing to be had in baseball.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're wearing part of the color scheme right
now. Yeah, absolutely. They make fucking everything now. It's not just hats and jerseys anymore.
Yeah.
Like they make everything.
What else do they make?
Oh, there's all kinds of shirts, pants, any kind of accessory you can think of.
Interesting.
You know, with the colors on it, with the logo. And there's a lot of good logos out there.
Do you have any Phillies merch?
Yeah, I do.
What do you have?
Okay.
I have a lot of Phillies caps.
Okay.
That I will wear during baseball season. I will only wear a Phillies cap. And t-shirts that I wear, like if I go to a game, watch a game. That I wear, because there is also a lot of superstition in baseball. I'm not a superstitious person, but I get sucked in to superstition with baseball.
What's a superstition? What's
it's like, oh, they won when I'm wearing this shirt. It was a crucial game. I have to keep wearing this shirt every time they play.
God. Right.
Yeah.
Like a lucky jockstrap. They wear jockstraps,
right? Yeah. The players are very superstitious. There'll be guys that like won't change their socks if they're on a winning streak and stuff like that. You know, they're very superstitious.
Yeah.
I have never seen you in a t-shirt.
And God willing, you never will.
So you say you worked. I'm like, I don't believe it.
I don't believe it.
A baseball hat?
Yeah, that would
be shocking. PFT in a baseball hat?
That would be unsettling.
Rue never.
Rue never. PFT in a t-shirt, calmly watching Mrs. Doubtfire.
I could not believe it.
We're sort of rounding the corner on this straight.
Are you saying we're rounding third?
We're out. Oh, yes, we're heading for home.
Oh, my God, you're turning straight. Ew, ew,
ew, ew, we're heading for.
Ew, you're turning. Ew, ew.
We're about to head home. No, this is my best rate voice. Honestly, this is my best rate voice. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
What's up, PFT?
Hi, Mono. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing solid.
What's up, man?
I'm doing really solid, honestly. Got a lot of irons in the fire. What do you think?
Classic straight.
So before we let you go.
Irons in the fire.
Got a lot of irons in the fire.
Do you want to do one really quick?
Blacksmith? Okay.
Do it with PFT.
Oscar, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up? How's it going, man?
Good. How you been?
Good, good. Got a lot of irons in the fire. Right.
There's just no straighter phrase.
There's no straighter phrase.
There's no straighter phrase.
You can't say that if you're queer. You die.
What is the queer version of irons in the fire? What would you say to denote that feeling?
Like there's a lot of drama. I'm a drama right now. My life is drama right now.
Juggling a lot of balls.
My life is drama So I was going to ask you, PFT, to put you on the spot. We talked about straight culture. What's your favorite thing about gay culture?
Oh, man. I think the iconography, I was thinking about this the other day, like the performers and I guess non-performers too that are elevated to queer icon status. Mm. And some people it's like, I totally get that. And then other people, there is a bit more of a story behind it of why. And like The Wizard of Oz, like Dorothy and The Wizard of Oz, obviously there's the Judy Garland thing, but then why is that story so resonant? And I remember talking with, I used to do this podcast called the Dead Authors Podcast, mm-hmm. where I would have people on, improvisers on, to portray a famous dead author, and I would interview them in character. And I had my friend Chris Tallman played L. Frank Baum, the author of The Wizard of Oz, and I would get questions from the audience, and one of the questions was, why do you think this story is so resonant with gay culture? And he came up with something I'd never thought about before, and I thought it was really, and I'm not going to say that this is the definitive reason, but it made a lot of sense to me, and it honestly like choked me up in the moment, and I had to like carry on in the show, that it's a story about various people thinking there was something wrong with them, mm-hmm. and then they find out at the end of the story, there's nothing wrong with them. They were perfect the way they were. They did not have to look for something to change them. They were absolutely fine, and they had always been fine. And I know that's just like a tiny aspect of that story, but it hit me really hard. Mm-hmm. It hit me really hard. And I was like, that's really beautiful. I know that on top of it, there's all these other things associated with Judy Garland. There's also like the camp aspect of everything. Sure. But I was thinking about like Madonna, that I know when I was a kid, I remember when Madonna came on the scene and how much she meant to the girls that I knew in my life. And then as I got older, finding out that she was an icon to so many gay men. And like with girls, I understood it was because she was very like non-apologetic. She's like, here's who I am. If I want to be sexy, I'll be sexy. It's not any of your business, mm-hmm. what I do with who I am. Mm-hmm. And I guess I can see the parallels, but I think I didn't quite know why she is so iconic to mm-hmm. queer men.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head of like, yeah, that's like, it's, I think like, obviously.
Is it like the same, essentially the same idea of like,
I think
unapologetically,
so.
This is who I am.
Yes, and I think like sometimes we as, because obviously queer men, I mean obviously all queer people, but queer men, you know, we live in shame of our feminine qualities. Mm-hmm. So then when you get to see someone like being like, really extra feminine and really embraced in their form, kind yeah. of, right?
And I'm like, not going to hide.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hide an aspect of me that is an aspect of me just like any other aspect of me.
Right.
So why should I tamp this down when it's a part of me? And
yeah.
Who the fuck are you to tell me?
And that's why I think there's such a symbiotic relationship between gay men and women, obviously, is because, like, obviously, gay men admire the feminine, like, being comfortable in their feminine form. We admire that from women. And I think women, frankly, admire that gay men, as men, have privilege to take power mm-hmm. in spaces that women can't.
Yeah.
So it's a really, like, symbiotic, like, maybe we're more powerful together
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Yeah. And each one knowing the strength that you have to have with your role in current society.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder what it is like for kids now growing up, because I do feel like it's, in some places, it's a little better than mm-hmm. it was when we were younger. I mean, we live in a place where you can't judge it by L.A.,
When you hear
stories of your friends with kids and
right.
you know what, but it's like, I don't know if they could have done that where I grew up.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
Yeah. To say that, like, to generalize, like, oh, it's getting better, it would be incorrect, I think. But I think from where we were in the 90s to where we are today, there is at least awareness
yeah.
of, oh, that, like, gay people can exist outside in, like, the bigger cities.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
It's not so bad, you
yes.
know?
Yeah.
We didn't have that growing up.
Yeah.
That's true. I mean?
Absolutely.
Everything was fed to us, like, we were talking about earlier, like, this is what gay people should look like. This is the mm-hmm. this is how they act. This is the way they feel. But now, because of the internet, it's like, oh, there's a giant scope. It's a spectrum
right.
of queerness
yeah.
and not just a binary of queerness.
And queer people are, it's hard. I mean, because now the pushback is queer people want to live their lives fully authentically. Mm-hmm. Or I think, like, even us in the late 90s, early aughts, it was like, you can exist if you're happy with living at in this level.
Yeah.
And now queer people are finally like, well, no, I don't want just that.
Yeah.
I want my whole life to be, you know, as rich as you're allowed to have. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was beautiful.
I really love that Wizard of Oz moment, too. That's really beautiful.
You know what? That's called a grand slam right there.
Ooh!
I'm learning.
Oscar, you're learning.
I'm learning.
No strikes. You're in, Paul.
That's right. No three strikes.
None of them. Paul, before we go, what can we plug? What do you want to plug?
I'm glad you asked. First of all, I think you could still find bajillion-dollar properties online. On Pluto, on Amazon.
I love that.
Mono and I got to work together quite a bit on that show, and it was always so much fun.
We did. I never saw season four. That's probably
season four is really good.
You should check it out.
But I also do a live show called Varietopia, which is a modern variety show, comedy, music, other stuff. It's my favorite thing to do. I do it every other month here in town and every other month on the road this year. And the next one in L.A. is July 9th at Laudrum. That's Sunday. And then the next one out of town is August 26th at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Go to paulftompkins.com/live and you can get your ticket links.
Work.
Beautiful.
Work.
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 Yeah, better work, bitch.
Thank you so much for being a guest here.
Thank you, Paul.
You know, I love you guys. Thanks
we love you.
We love you so much.
Always fun to talk with you.
I think you just beat Gabrus.
I think you might have been number one.
Well, till next time. Bye.
The Try Gaze is hosted by Manu Agapian and Oscar Montoya.
Our producers are Cassie Jerkins and Judith Cargbo.
Our production coordinator is Abby Aguilar, and our audio engineer is Alex Gonzalez. This is an Earwolf Presents production.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you made it all the way to the end, you're a beautiful person. If you're not hearing this voice, go to hell. Earwolf Presents is produced by Earwolf, Amelia Chapelo, and Cody Fisher. And of course, podcast daddy Colin Anderson himself. The Earwolf Presents series is hosted by the one and only myself, Jacquise Neal. And our theme music was engineered and sung by the amazing Jordan Duffy. Special thanks and shout outs to Jeff Gross and Aaron Nestor. And for more information on Earwolf Presents, visit earwolf.com and follow us at Earwolf on all social platforms.